Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Mr. Greenspan gets everybody's attention, except maybe the Chinese.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The shockwaves are still rippling around the world from the comments made yesterday by former Fed Chief Alan Greenspan. He voiced worries that China's red-hot stock market faces a steep fall. Wall Street investors registered their concern over those comments yesterday, and today European shares fell from their six-and-a-half-year highs. The Shanghai Composite Index did shave off a modest 0.5% today, but that's nothing compared to a 55% jump so far this year, not to mention its 278% climb in the past 2 years. In China, they listened not to Greenspan, but a man by the name of Lin Yuan. He's considered a Warren Buffett-style market guru over there, and he told Reuters today the Chinese stock market will keep on rising. No uptrend on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow Industrials lost 14 points, about a tenth of a percent. The Nasdaq dropped almost 0.5%. The S&P 500 was down more than a tenth of 1%. America, you're not wearing enough Burberry. That's the view of the British company that makes those upscale raincoats and handbags. It's looking to expand in the U.S. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Burberry recently became embroiled in a bitter international row over the closure of one of its British factories. The company is shifting the work to the Far East. But now Burberry is looking west for extra sales. Unveiling its latest set of figures, the company has outlined plans for a rapid expansion of its own retail outlets in the US. Richard Newbolt, retail analyst with brokerage house Panmure Gordon.
Management have felt that the Burberry brand is underrepresented in the States for some time, and at the interim results, the chief executive claimed that Burberry should double the business over the next few years.
The company currently has some 40 outlets in the US. It's planning another 10 this year. The company says it's benefiting from higher prices for its luxury products. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Credit card statements aren't exactly easy reading, what with all the tiny print and legalese. The Federal Reserve wants to change that. It wants credit card companies to summarize terms and fees in plain language. It also wants customers to get a 45-day heads up if the terms and conditions of their card changes. That includes things like raising interest rates. The Fed will talk to consumers and credit card issuers before putting any final regulations into place. Texas may soon be the latest state to require steroid testing of high school athletes. Lawmakers are arguing not over whether it's a good idea to subject teenagers to random drug tests. The scrap is about who should pay for it. Marketplace's Jill Barshay reports.
The Texas State House wants to authorize a new fee on high school football and basketball games. Now, this is Texas, where football is religion. Opponents call it a ticket tax. D.W. Rutledge is head of the Texas High School Coaches Association. He prefers a Senate version, which would pay for testing with taxpayer dollars. He says a ticket tax may not raise enough cash, and parents could end up footing the bill.
We don't want the kids that are from financially challenged families not to have the opportunity to play athletics because they can't afford it.
Texas lawmaker Dan Flynn wrote the ticket fee bill.
What is the cost of an athletic event, a sporting event that's a volunteer program? Should they not be of self-funding?
Flynn says 25 cents from each ticket would be enough to raise the $4.5 million needed for steroid testing. He's negotiating with his Senate counterpart this week. In Los Angeles, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
A study out this week finds many investment bankers and plenty of traders stand to see bonuses rise 15% from last year on a wave of private equity deals abroad. Some Wall Streeters could see incentive pay rise at least 20%. Recently, Marketplace commentator Robert Reich suggested here that the income of private equity partners should be taxed as compensation, meaning at a higher rate, and not the lower rate that capital gains are taxed now. Today, he tells us what kind of reaction he got from that idea.
After suggesting a couple of weeks ago that the stratospheric earnings of equity fund managers ought to be considered income rather than capital gains, and therefore taxed at 35% rather than 15%, I was deluged with emails telling me the plan wouldn't work. It would just drive fund managers into offshore tax havens. No less than John Corzine, the former chief executive of Goldman Sachs, now governor of New Jersey, admitted recently in a television interview that many fund managers would take their money out of the country before they'd pay the 35% rate. Corzine and my other critics may have a point. Congress's Joint Committee on Taxation recently estimated that America's super rich already sock away more than $100 billion a year in offshore tax havens. So any attempt to get them to pay what they owe is doomed, right? Maybe. But I've been thinking a lot about the immigration bill now pending before Congress, especially the conditions undocumented workers will have to meet if they want to become American citizens. One of them is to pay all the taxes they owe. The new immigration bill may not make it through Congress, but that provision about paying taxes that are owed in order to be a citizen serves as a reminder that paying taxes is one of the major obligations of citizenship. After all, if we didn't pay the taxes we owe, we wouldn't have public schools, police and fire protection, national defense, homeland security, roads and bridges, Medicare and Social Security, and all the other things we need. So when the super rich use offshore tax havens to avoid paying what they owe in taxes, they're reneging on their duties as citizens. It seems only fair to me that the consequence of that kind of tax avoidance ought to be loss of citizenship. If it's more important to someone to avoid paying what they owe in taxes than to continue being an American, then let them keep their money. They can become a citizen of the Cayman Islands or Bermuda or wherever else they store their wealth and come here on a visitor's visa, if they can get one.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California at Berkeley. You can let us know what you think. Letters at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Thanks for joining us this morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.